Our scripture lesson today is found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, verses 10 through 17. Hear now this reading from the Holy Scripture. Now he, that was Jesus, was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God. Michael, thank you so much for coming and blessing us with that beautiful song and with your wonderful voice. Michael is a friend of Carolyn's who has been here before, but I don't think has ever sung for us before, and it was great to have you here, especially on a Sunday when Carolyn couldn't be with us because she's been with her father all week at the League of Cities. So talking about running for mayor. I'm friends, Facebook friends with Carolyn, and she's enjoying her time at the League of Cities. So our scripture today is found late in Jesus' ministry. Jesus has already predicted to his disciples that his death is coming soon. There's a real urgency in this part of Luke. Matter of fact, there's not a lot of long stories in this part of Luke. You get a lot of short vignettes where Jesus is teaching. Today finds us in a synagogue. Now, we don't know where the synagogue is. Shortly after this, there's a verse that said Jesus was traveling from city to village just trying to get his word out because he had a real urgency to let people know just what he wanted them to know. Today's story is another one of those challenging stories. Last week, Andy talked about the one where Jesus said he didn't come to spread peace, but upheaval, to bring sister against sister and grandmother against granddaughter, and a very challenging story for us because we like to think of Jesus as being the message of peace. But sometimes within that search for peace, there has to be some upheaval. And so today we find Jesus in the synagogue. Probably good chance that that was an unusual occurrence at this point because he'd already been spreading a lot of issues among the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the leaders of the church. And he was becoming very, very unpopular. They were beginning to really come down on him, take times to question him. And yet here he was in the synagogue teaching. We don't know what he was teaching about this week. And Ashley and Luke, this is the last recording of him teaching in the synagogue. So he's there, and there's a woman in the crowd, probably somebody that's there all the time, somebody who's been crippled for 18 years. In the message, it says she was crippled with arthritis. We don't know for sure just what the crippling was. There was no indication she had any other issues but being crippled, to where she couldn't even look up. But she faithfully came to the synagogue every Sabbath. We can assume that because Jesus referred to her as a daughter of Abraham, which would mean she was Jewish, and an important part of that was being part of that weekly worship. Jesus saw her. Whether he had ever seen her before, we don't know. We don't know if he'd ever been to this synagogue before, but he saw her. And he called out to her. And he said, "You're healed." Now, most of the other healings we read about, the person came to Jesus and said, "You're healed. By your faith, you're healed." There's no indication of that here. Jesus reached out to her. Now, we don't know why he did this. He could easily have said, "Come meet me in the square tomorrow, and we'll fix this. You will no longer have to deal with this ailment that you've had for 18 years. You'll be whole again." But I think there was something deeper in Jesus' plan this day. He had been doing a lot to challenge the establishment, to get them to look at how they lived out their faith. And so, on the Sabbath, he did work. He healed rather than waiting till the next day. I don't think one more day would have made a big deal for this woman, but for Jesus, it was a perfect opportunity to teach. Was he trying to say the laws were bad, that the Sabbath wasn't important? I don't think so. What he was trying to do was establish a new paradigm. He wanted people to look at their faith in another way, to understand that faith is about relationship. It's about relationship with God, and it's about relationship with one another. That's why he said the most important commandment is to love God and to love your neighbor as yourself. This was a perfect opportunity for Jesus to share that message. He said to the leader of the synagogue, "Are you saying to me your animals are more important than this woman? You're going to not let them go thirsty on a Sabbath just because that's work. Why would you challenge me trying to heal a woman who has suffered for 18 years? And so in this teaching moment, Jesus set forth a new paradigm, a paradigm of love and justice. Some years after Jesus died, there was a man. He was a good Jew, a faithful Jew, followed the law to the letter, did everything he could to make sure the letter was followed. So much so that when he looked at the Christians, he saw in them a challenge. They weren't following the law just right. They were doing things differently. And so he set about persecuting them with total faith that what he was doing was God's will. And suddenly he had an encounter. He had an encounter with Jesus. You know the story. Paul on the Damascus Road. Suddenly he had another understanding. That paradigm that Jesus set in this story today, he came to understand it. That the message is about love, it's about justice. And so Paul spent the rest of his life spreading that story of love, helping people understand how God wanted them to live through the life of Jesus. Paul followed that paradigm to prison. He died continuing to share that message of love and justice. Let's jump forward almost 2,000 years to the 1940s. Hitler's reigning. Hitler considers himself a Christian. He was an altar boy. But he's come to a different understanding of what it means to be faithful. He gets the church in Germany, in actuality, to declare the importance of him. God no longer is first. But there was a young Lutheran pastor who couldn't share in that. He understood the importance of God, of following in Jesus' footsteps. And so he was one of the founders of the Confession Church, a church that wrote one of the confessions that are in our Book of Confessions, the Theological Declaration of Barmen. They weren't willing to follow what Hitler was teaching. They understood that all people were important. They were willing to fight against Hitler's plan of killing the Jews, and not just the Jews, Poles, people who were disabled, gypsies. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he had come to America. He had the opportunity to be in America, to be safe. The Niebuhrs had arranged for him to have a teaching job. But Dietrich Bonhoeffer understood that his place was in his country, fighting against a man who was fighting against everything God wanted, and that was love and justice. And so Dietrich Bonhoeffer went back. He became part of a plot to try to eliminate Hitler, was arrested, and died in 1945 in Flossenbürg concentration camp, just days before the liberation. Bonhoeffer understood this message of Jesus, this new paradigm that Jesus spread in this story of love and justice. Jump forward a little bit more to the 1960s. Racism has become a major problem in the South. Not that it had ever gone away since the days of slavery, but it seemed to be getting worse. The freedom of African Americans to live the same way as whites just didn't seem to be there. I can remember as a young girl, bathrooms and water fountains marked colored and white. Pools that were not accessible because of the color of your skin. Restaurants that you couldn't go into. There was a young Baptist minister who saw this and felt it was part of his call. It was part of his Christian call to try to make a difference. He wrote a letter from jail after he'd been arrested for illegally participating in a parade to all the religious leaders in Alabama, helping them to understand the injustice of what was going on and the part the Christian faith needed to have in bringing about the paradigm Jesus taught, a love and justice. And so he marched peacefully, basing his way of trying to address the problem on Jesus' teachings found mainly in the Sermon on the Mount. And so he served as a minister, leading other ministers in trying to make changes until he was assassinated, continuing his work. Jump forward to the 1970s. 1977, to be precise. El Salvador. There's a Roman Catholic priest who was installed as archbishop. He had a strong belief in the Roman Catholic Church and their attitude towards the government in El Salvador. He so totally supported the Roman Catholic support of that government. But after he went in as archbishop, some of his priests who followed liberation theology, came to him and started taking him out into the countryside, started opening his eyes to what was truly happening with that government in El Salvador. He saw the persecution. He saw the rapes. He saw people that disappeared in the middle of the night because they didn't agree with the government. And he came to understand that the church, by supporting that government, was implicit in carrying on that persecution. And so, one day he preached a sermon tasking all the Christian soldiers in El Salvador to begin to act according to their Christian faith. They knew how they were supposed to be acting, and yet these soldiers were the ones that were perpetrating the crimes against the people, were persecuting them, and even killing them. The following day, as he served Mass in a small chapel in a hospital, Oscar Romero was shot down because of his wanting to portray this paradigm of Jesus of love and justice. Few of us are ever going to be in a situation where we might be called to die for our faith. Jesus died for his faith because of his teachings like this one we had today, challenging the understanding of the rules of the church. Few of us will ever be called to do that. And yet each of us is called to follow in Jesus' paradigm of love and justice, to look for places in the world where we can make a difference, where we can address issues. It may be as advocates, it may be in doing mission work, it may be in just touching the lives of other people who don't understand how much they're loved. That's what Jesus' message was that day to the people in the synagogue. That's what his message was to that synagogue leader who questioned the fact he would try to make somebody's life better on a Sabbath. That for us is the message of this story. It's the message of the Gospels. Yes, sometimes the message we hear is difficult, it's challenging. It's so much easier to just live our lives going day to day, and yet that's not what Jesus asks us to do. Jesus asks us to live, to love, and to spread peace and justice. Amen. This week, as you go out into the world, remember the world is a mission field. It's a world that's filled with pain and suffering, a world that can definitely use our love, our message of peace, our desire to help others. I charge you as you leave to remember the words found actually in the prophet Micah in the Old Testament. What does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you this week and forevermore. Amen.